on the Colorado. This is Kilo Delta Zero Tango Yankee Uniform. Joe here in Loveland. I am the net control for this evening's Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club net, tech net. Looking for check-ins, check-ins, check-ins. Anyone who wants check-in, please call.
KE0 EZU, Mike and Greeley. How are you doing, Joe?
Not too bad, not too bad. Had a good day at work and just came home tired. How you doing, partner?
Well, I just got back from Centennial.
Airport?
Down that way, I had to do some stuff for Elway.
Cool, what are you doing for him?
Delivering checks to Profit Strategies.
Sounds complicated.
What they do is, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Mike, for checking in. Let's see if we got anybody else. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's TechNet? Please call.
KE0KLJ. This is Phil.
Number zero, Whiskey, India, Quebec, Gary in Loveland.
Okay, we got Mr. OJ, and we've got Kerry and zero WIQ, and I got K, all I got is KLS, I think it was. Is that KE0 or KD0?
KE0, KLJ. This is Phil.
I'm sorry, Phil. I, for some reason, I didn't put the J. It looks like an S. How's Phil doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Just playing around with an antenna today, and got my antenna tuner, so I was just messing around with that a little bit before the wind came up, and it's an N-fed dipole, and it tunes in rather well.
Good Kilo. In fact, I was just talking to Dean about that. I'm going to go over to his house and put a meter on his multi-band. Okay, OJ, what's up?
Oh, I don't know. Test went out Sunday morning. We got two people, one technician, one general. 65.4 with a high of 77.7. And I can turn the amplifier off now because I don't need it. there you go. And other than that, we'll just see what kind of fun and frivolity that you scrape up tonight. K0OJ.
Okay, thanks so much. Okay, Kerry, what's new with you, N0WIQ?
I can't say that there's hardly anything new with me. I think Wednesday afternoon I get to go have my toenails clipped. But other than that, I don't have anything planned, I guess. So, back to net.
Thank you for that information. Anybody else want to check in for tonight's TechNet, please call.
KE0JWT, Troy and Milken.
Hi, Troy. What's new with you?
Loveland.
Oh, playing around with a new IC7100.
That's beyond me. I don't know much about ICOM.
Man.
I'm sorry. I think I doubled with somebody. Go ahead.
Just me ruining your net. Oh boy, somebody new on 2 meter sideband.
KE0, Echo Lima Kilo, Tom in Loveland checking in.
Good evening, Fox Zero, Colorado Boy, Fort Collins, Mike.
Everybody's jumping on me right now. Let's see, Tom, we got you. How are you doing, Tom?
Doing great. preparing for the big elk hunt. I'll be on the Colorado Connection in the next week or so, up on the flat tops, talking to friends here locally as we fill. So we'll be out over the weekend and coming back next Monday or Tuesday.
Cool. Well, that's good. Mr. Mike, how you doing, Mr. Martinez?
Doing great, Joe. You had a great day today, and time's coming up, and, man, I'm going to have quite a month coming next month.
What big plans do you have?
The Veterans Administration's got a couple of big days set out, and I'm going to join every one of them and see what the life was all about.
That's cool. Yeah, you'll really enjoy that.
I want to see what they got going on, because it's going to be a crowd and a half, I guarantee you, because we even get free barbecue.
Is that local?
Yes, sir. It's over at the ranch.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to know. Well, I wish you a lot of luck. I hope you have a good time.
It's going to be enjoyable. I guarantee you that, because they're even going to have music down there. It's going to be something else. So I'm looking forward to going to that one.
I don't blame you a bit. Well, thank you much for checking in. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's nap, please call.
Kilo Echo Zero, Hotel, X-ray, Levi and Severance.
Whiskey 7, Radio Fox.
Kilo Alpha Zero, Alpha Bravo Victor, Rhodes and Milliken.
Well, we got three of you. Got Levi, got Dan, got Rhodes. How's Rhodes doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good. Just finished eating dinner and sitting down here listening to the net and trying to figure out, or I guess wish I could find a way to edit or filter out all the political stuff on Facebook.
Good luck. You know, for some reason I don't get that, because I guess my people ain't very... But the wife's getting a lot of it. She says, oh my God, this is really bad.
Yeah, I think I need just to disconnect my Facebook account until the middle of November or so. That might help at my sanity quite a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's funny. She told me that, and I said, I'm really not getting much from guys that I used to play in the band, stuff with that. They're not very, you know, political. The one guy is, but he really kind of keeps it low-key. But, you know, that's interesting.
Yeah, I follow a lot of news organizations and things like that, so I'm getting bombarded with that type of stuff. It's not so much friends, it's just other groups and organizations and, like I said, news outlets that are doing it. So it's a bit overwhelming and just disgusting. But at any rate, I'll get off my soapbox. Thanks. I'll be enjoying listening in tonight. Back to you, Joe, KA0ABV.
Thank you, Rhodes. Appreciate that. Oh, Dan, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very good, Joe. Thank you very much. Getting my gear together for a hockey game. I'll be on the ice in about 50 minutes playing hockey at the Epic. So I'm just kind of in for a quick check-in. I'll be able to listen, but I got to use my hands to pack the rest of my gear. Good evening to all on the net. W7 Radio Fox.
Thank you, sir, for checking in. Yeah, I need to get with you. Are you going to be at the meeting on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm planning on it.
Why don't you bring those, beads with you that I was supposed to get that Saturday, and I completely forgot it.
The beads? You mean the chokes?
The chokes, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay, if I can remember. Otherwise, send me an email, Joe. I can't do anything about it right now, or else I'd put it on my table.
No problem. I'll send you an email. Thanks so much. I spaced it out. I should have been with you last two, three weeks ago. Well, I'll let you go. Thanks so much for doing that. Levi, what's new with you, my friend?
Oh, not a whole lot. I'm just kind of glad I don't have a Facebook account after listening to all that.
Yeah, my wife follows a lot of the news things just like Rhodes does, and I kind of try to stay away from that just, I don't know why, just because I am. But yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think I'm one of those guys that are really hard to reach. I'm hardly on any sort of internet stuff, and I don't even have cable or satellite TV. I just watch it through the through Netflix, and hardly get any of that advertising. So consider myself lucky there.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going on. It's unfortunate, but there's a lot of that going on.
Well, you get some more check-ins, K0 at your checks.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate that. Anybody else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Kilo Echo Zero, Kilo Bravo Sierra, Dean and Evans.
Speaking of Dean, how are you?
India, Charlie, Mark in Loveland.
I got to quit jumping on this thing. We'll start with Dean. Since I just got off the phone with you 10 minutes ago, has anything changed?
No, I was going to say, you know, a long time no hear, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, thanks so much, Dean. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, you can chime in at any time. W2MIC, Mark, how's my main man?
Oh, not feeling very tippy-top this evening. Reading up on vertical antennas and vertical dipoles and radials.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, the short version is, it's complicated.
You plan on building one? Is that what you're doing?
Well, I actually have a Butternut HF6V antenna with all of the kits and trimmings sitting in the garage that I bought many years ago before I knew about radials. Like, I didn't know about radials at all. And I'm looking at the assorted kits available for mounting a single radial per band up on top of your roof. I'm skeptical, but I'm reading.
Interesting, interesting. Well, thanks so much for checking in. I'm sure we will call for your input for sure on this subject, because this is something, and we'll talk a little bit more when I get into this thing. Anyway, anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Hey, Joe, this is KD0ZWU, Terry and Berthet.
KD0ZWU, how's Terry doing tonight?
I got all my football players back, and we're ready to do the tech net.
Good. I'm glad you came back. And you'll be in town for a few more weeks, won't you?
I think so. I tend to come and go, but I should be here for another couple weeks.
Good. I'm glad you are. Always appreciate you checking in. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call. Okay, we'll go one more round. This is Kilo Delta Zero, Tango Yankee Uniform, Joe here in Loveland. I am the net control for this evening's tech net, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. If you'd like to check in, please do. You do not have to be a member of any club in order to join us, so please check in.
Hey, F0CB. Joe, I was going to let you know that Ed's going to be here on the 26th, and he'd like to go out for lunch with a bunch there. You know, WA5SWD will be coming into town that day, and he'd like to go out and have lunch with us. Well, and that's all I got.
Mike, that's Saturday the 22nd, is that correct?
To tell you the truth, I didn't look at the date, but I think you're right. But it's the 26th, he said.
Well, the 26th, that's a Wednesday. Okay, I got that. I think I'm free. I got to look at my, oh, shoot. I'm supposed to do a CPR class in Denver, I think. Maybe that's the 27th. I don't remember. If I can get it off, I definitely be there.
I kind of figured a lot of his old friends would want to show up, you know, and at least say hello or goodbye or whatever. I don't know how long he's going to be here.
Yeah, I apologize for giving you kind of a negative thing here. I don't know. We've changed a lot of things just this morning on different classes. We've canceled, and then we brought in some new ones. So I'm not really sure where I'm at on that particular day because I haven't really looked. But if we can make it, we definitely will. I'd sure like to see those guys. Anybody else want to check in for tonight's net before we start, please call.
Kilo Echo Zero, Hotel India Mike, Rick in Fort Collins.
When you come back, how's Rick doing?
Doing okay, putting away some laundry. It was that day, so I got to get it finished up while I'm listening here.
Appreciate that. Anyone else want to check in before we get going? Hearing none, this Katie's at TYU. Again, net control for this evening's TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. We're looking for any questions that you might have. Remember, any questions are fine before we get into our main topic. I don't care if it's what color I need to paint the pole or how many feet do I need to make that dipole. Please call.
K0HHX.
Go right ahead, my friend.
Mine is less of a technical question and more of kind of an operational question. Would it be possible to move the meeting time to match the Wednesday meeting just to help eliminate confusion? I hop on early and I always hear people coming on who can't recall which time the net is, and I'm kind of one of those people as well. Like, is it 7 o'clock tonight or is it earlier? Just wanted to throw the question out there, see if that's a possibility.
You know, I really don't care. It doesn't make that much difference to me, half an hour or so. I'd like to start it, if we do start it, I'd like to start at 6:30 and not, we don't do early check-ins on this thing. I'll tell you what, I'll send a note out to our members and see if I can't get something back on that. I will not make a change like that by myself. I would rather have everybody's input on that. Does anybody else have a comment on that?
W7RF.
Go ahead, Dan. Actually, either 6:30 or 7, I think, is a decent time. You know, obviously, some people be happier with one or the other. 7 o'clock puts it a little bit past somebody that might have a later dinner time, but maybe into their TV time. So you're probably going to have a mixed consensus, or actually no consensus. You're having a mixed response. But whatever you do, I do suggest that you you pick one and then standardize on it and keep it, because I think a lot of other people are starting to become known, or have this become known to them, and we should solidify that time and have it be a standard.
And sir, get the IQ.
Dan, I totally agree with you. Go ahead, N0WIQ, Kerry.
I'll basically echo what Dan just said, except for you seem to have said 7 o'clock right now, so it's just a little confusion. I mean, I was confused. I didn't know whether you did pre-net check-ins or not. So that's basically where I'm at, and I think that's where the question came from.
You know, I do agree with that. And if we move to 6, but the reason we moved the other net was because we were up against NWS, National Traffic Service, And we were still up against because they, excuse me, they moved to 7 o'clock, and some people wanted to jump on that. Well, this one has always been at 7 o'clock, and we just never did make that move. So I have no problem with it. I just would like more input than just me doing it. So anybody else have any comments about it?
KE0, KBS.
KBS, go.
Well, I know I'm kind of the new guy here, but I kind of like the nets at 7 myself just because got the kids in sports and they don't get out till 6 or 6:30, so it kind of gives me time to get home and be able to participate.
Well, that's a good opinion. The only thing that I do like about this moving it up is because these things go late. And there's a lot of times when I work in Denver, I've got to leave here. I get up at 4 in the morning. And if I'm up here until 10 o'clock at night doing this net, it kind of gets a little tough for me to get up in the morning. That would give me an extra half hour up on that. But these nets usually last a good 90 minutes. In fact, last time we had this conversation, which was last week, we actually talked about basically having a 90-minute window to do the net, and if need be, we would go to 2 hours, but we'd like to keep it to 90 minutes. So, but you do bring up a good point. Anyone else have any ideas or what we ought to do?
Right here's fine, K0 OJ.
Which is right, OJ?
Right here is fine.
Two 6:30s and two 7 o'clock, so I guess we got a tie. Anybody, Mark, you want to break the tie?
W2MIC, no opinion, either is fine.
All good opinions, I do appreciate that. What I'm going to do is I'll go ahead and send a note out tonight, in fact, and see what we have. And if I do change it, I won't change it next week, but I will change it the week after, so everybody has full warning. Because I realize we're getting kind of a good following, which is really super. And, Dan, you're the one that started this. I do appreciate everything that you did to make this thing go. I'm just kind of filling in for you, more or less. But we'll go ahead and do that. If there's any other comments, please call now.
KD0ZWU prefers the current time.
Well, so far it's 3-2, and I'll keep that score. Anybody else?
I've only got about 10 or 12 minutes before I get to the rink, but I've got a comment on Mark and Mark's antenna, if there's a reasonable time for it.
There's some consistency with both of them being at the same time rather than one a half an hour earlier than the other. But honestly, 6:30 or 7 makes no difference to me. K0HHX.
Thanks for that comment. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay, and HHX, your audio is way, way low. You're probably not deviating more than 1 kilohertz. So either check your radio to make sure you're not in a narrow band transmit mode or get closer to the microphone, okay?
Copy that. KE0HHX.
Okay, very good. This is W7RF. And Joe, thank you very much, but you're the one that's really... really been the steel I-beam in the back of this net, because the organizational qualities that you have for that and the consistency of you being here really, that's been the reason that it's continued. So thank you very much for that, Joe. And on Mark, HF6B, very nice, efficient antenna, open-air aluminum coils, transmitting type capacitor, doorknob capacitor, very efficient antenna. If you're going to mount it on the roof, it does need to have about 2 radials per band, and they should be cut to the band of operation. You can use use the chart in the manual itself to go ahead and adjust the antenna for the frequencies that you want, and then you can fine-tune, prune the radials for that particular band to go ahead and zero you in on exactly where you're going to be. The other radials that are not for that band will still work, but as far as the resonance part, the two radials per band that they recommend is a good way to go. And I wouldn't go with a kit. This is just wire. Make it yourself. Over.
Understood. Thank you. Yeah, I don't have a manual. I bought the unit used, but my new quest is to go find a PDF of the manual and learn what the radials are. Sure, I can cut wires. That's not hard.
Yeah, and it's straightforward. You're going to go ahead and put that to the lower section. What that is on the HF6V is there's a piece of fiberglass around approximately 1 inch in diameter, I think, 3/4 or 1 inch in diameter at the base. And across that, there's two, the bottom screw is like a 1032 type screw, and for the feed point, for the vertical part of the radiator, and then the same type of screw below the separated fiberglass rod part for the grounds. Hook all your ground wires to that one lug. If you wanted to, you can go on both sides of that. So in other words, feed some ring terminals through the screw part with the head on one side, and then use the other half of the radials on the nut side, so you can kind of split up which way you go through there. Use a drop of Penetrox on there. That'll keep things nice. And if you wanted to go ahead and weatherproof it with some coax seal, that would probably be a better thing than tape, because tape won't work very well on that odd shape. Over.
All very clear. Thank you.
Okay, and I'm sure you'll have no trouble finding a PDF for it, but if not, I'm sure I have one. And Joe, back to you. I'm probably 5 minutes from the rink, so I probably won't be of much value beyond that. KD0TYU, and give me just a little second on how you're doing with your amplifier, 7RF.
Oh, Dan, I owe you big time. This is the first time I've been able to use this thing. I used it on Ole Miss the other night because I couldn't get out of the States, so bands were really bad. And these guys say, turn that thing down. And I looked at the thing, and I'm only putting out about 500 watts, but boy, I was just blowing them sideways.
Well, I tell you, that first 500 watts or 600 watts makes a big difference. It really does. That's where most of your initial gain comes from when you buy an amplifier. Somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 watts isn't going to get you much extra, but up to that first 600 or a kilowatt will really square you away, Joe. I'm very glad and happy for that. And I'll bring some RFI chokes on Saturday, and you can go from there.
Yeah, it's just what we talked about. I really haven't seen a lot of noise, but I thought that we do, you know, it sure wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, because in some band combinations and rotator azimuths, then you do have some sort of interference at the 500 or 600 watt level. So it wouldn't be a bad idea to go ahead and choke things up.
You bet. I do appreciate you coming out here. I never thought SWRs meant so much until we started working with this amplifier. So it really made a difference what you showed me. I tell you what, I guess you could say you're ignorant when you don't know, but after blowing it up twice, this time I wanted to do it right.
Yeah, it's a shame I couldn't save you from the first two times. All right, Joe, carry on. W7 Radio, Fox Mobile.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that, Dan. Anyway, does anybody else have any questions for the net for our experts? Please call.
KE0KBF.
KBF, go ahead.
Well, since we're kind of on the antenna thing, I do have one question, and you know, and I don't know if it even makes a difference. Yeah, I know. You know, I have the five band Hustler, the 5B TV, and up on the top of it, I guess it'd be at the top of the 40 meter portion of it. There's a little hose clamp that's got three arms coming off of it that you're supposed to bend out. Is that just for general radiation, or is that something you're supposed to turn it to kind of the direction that you want it to transmit to?
W7RF.
Yeah, Dan.
Yeah, the Hustler 5B TV from The threaded section where the 80-meter coil screws in on the top, that's the part that makes it the 5. It's a Hustler mobile antenna coil on the very top, and that gets you to 80 meters. But below that coil is 40 meters for the whole antenna up to that coil, up to the base of the coil. So with that said, those little pieces that come out, the aluminum pieces that come out sideways, horizontal, that is a capacity hat. And what that does is it effectively helps to shorten the physical length of the antenna and still make it resonant. To answer the question more specifically, it's irrelevant as to which way those things are pointed, but they should be symmetrically poised around the center of that tubing. If there's four of them, put them at 90 degrees. If there's three, put them at 120.
Roger that.
W7RF.
That answer for you?
Yes, sir, I believe that did. Thank you very much.
Anything else anybody would like to talk about before we get into our subject? And like I said, if we don't get the subject tonight, we can move it on to next week. Your questions are more important. Please call.
All righty, this is KB0NE here, and I had a query from Jerry about maybe making a presentation on erecting a tower for my hex beam. I was wondering if there was much curiosity about the general club populace about doing a presentation in December. Over.
Good evening, John. Thanks for checking in. Jerry's not on tonight, but you're talking about how a hex beam works or setting it up. I really liked the what you sent me. That was super.
Yeah. Well, he was kind of thinking that maybe my little caveat there is that I have spent more money on the tower than I have on the radio that drives it over.
Well, I'm a big fan of hex beams. I mean, I just am. It's the best antenna I've ever had, and I would recommend it to anybody. It's relatively inexpensive. So, I mean, are you talking about doing one on the hex beam again, or are you talking about doing one on the tower?
I'm thinking basically the general cost and the erection and the minutia, if you would, of putting a tower up. There's a lot to the whole process of just erecting some kind of an antenna. And while mine's not out in the middle of a field someplace, it is connected to my house. And that kind of helps a little bit with the wind loading and so forth like that. So, yeah, I'm just kind of curious if people were interested in having that as a subject of one of our club meeting agenda things in December or whenever.
AA0RX. Hey, anybody else send me comments?
KD's.
AA0RX. AA0RX.
A dipole, a fan dipole for my rig, and it's really interesting. I think that would be a good topic.
Thank you very much. Gary, I just heard you check in. Go ahead.
Yeah, cable, and that'd be a great thing, and looking forward to that. Hopefully we can get something going there. Over, over.
Okay, QSL that, and yeah, well, you know, if people want to hear about putting up an antenna tower and the caveats there, I'd be glad to present it, but, you know, I want to make sure it's of general interest to everybody.
Well, I've been kind of interested in doing that myself here at the house, and I don't, you know, more or less from a legal standpoint here in town versus anything else is what I'm worried about.
Yeah, roger that. And, yeah, the covenants are a major problem. I would say some bad words about this point in time. But, yeah, the covenants are one of the things you have to worry about. And if you're good to go, putting up a tower is probably not that big a deal. Over.
Yeah, well, I watched all sorts of infos on, like, YouTube and
up how to build and construct one, that'd probably be no problem. It's just the grunt work involved in it and stuff like that. I'm getting too old and probably too lazy to build them, but I would certainly like to try it sometime.
Okay, QSL that, and yeah, I'll tell you what, age here is 66, and yesterday, with the help of my buddy Joe, I got the tower up in the air, but today I'm kind of hurting. It's a lot of work, it is, but other than that, okay, well, I'll go ahead and put it together, a program, and maybe we'll just go ahead and put that together in December and have that for a program there. Go ahead, Joe.
Jerry is going to be at that meeting tomorrow night. You want me? I mean, you've already talked to Jerry, or do you want me to bring it to him?
Okay, which meeting is that?
Board meeting tomorrow night.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and talk to him. I won't be there. I'll be to the Hamfest committee meeting.
That's next Tuesday, because I'm at both of them.
Yeah, roger that.
Yeah, the Hamfest meeting is the third Tuesday, not the second.
Okay, yeah, and we have some stuff to talk about the Hamfest meeting there, too, so that's a totally another subject matter, and, yeah, I'll tell Jerry what's going on, and I'll go ahead and put together a program if he, you know, if everybody thinks it's worthwhile. It's kind of mundane, but in a way it's also of interest to people that haven't gotten past the technician level.
Definitely do agree. You know, you can talk on UHF, DHF, and all this and that, and then when you get into HF, it's a different ball game. I mean, it's brand new. Everything is totally different. Even the way you call is different. So, you bet. I think it would be a very interesting topic.
Okay, well, I'll put it on my agenda, and get some slides ready for the projector there.
Good enough, and we'll work on whatever equipment you're going to need to do the show. And I'll go ahead and mention to Jerry tomorrow night.
Okay, sounds fine. And I was going to also kind of, going along with W7RF's suggestion there, talk about solar power as far as that's concerned, too. So, two topics and one subject.
Super, that'll work for me.
Okay, well, I'll sign here and let somebody else have some talk time here on the net. KB0NE.
Thank you very much for that. Anyone else have any comments before we get into our subject?
Now, are you talking about the NARC meeting? This is KD0YOR, or is it WARS there, Joe?
No, this would be NCARD.
I kind of figured that, so. No, I just was wondering, is that open to the open to all members or only just committee members?
Everything is open to anybody. I guess, are you asking about the board meeting tomorrow night? Are you asking about our club meeting, which is, I believe, on, I guess it's this weekend, yeah.
Well, both, I guess, you might say.
They're both open to the public. There's nothing closed about anything that we do, although the board meeting, as most people will say, is pretty dull, but you're more than welcome, and they both are at the Golden Corral. Tomorrow night we will be there at 6 o'clock until God knows when, and then after that, of course, the club meeting is at 9 o'clock on Saturday a.m. of course, and we start basically breakfast, but he starts doing the startup at about 9 o'clock.
Roger that. Okay. Well, I better let you get on with the net, so. I'll kick back here, KD0YOR.
It's all important. Don't worry about it. It's all important. Anyone else have anything for the net, any questions for the net, please call.
KT0ZW on antenna mechanicals.
Go ahead, Terry.
I would like to stress that it is very easy to underestimate the amount of force of the wind and the amount of concrete that you need to put a good antenna in safely. And I would really, really urge people to not underestimate the mechanical engineering required to put up a good tower of 50 or 100 feet.
Yeah, I was reading my antenna book, and it's pretty involved with what you have to do. I mean, you have to dig that hole pretty deep.
WIQ.
NJO WIQ, go ahead.
If memory serves, you dig the hole about 4 foot deep. And probably 3 foot square, thereabouts. And that'll be a foundation for just about any antenna, the tower. And at the 4 feet is because you put it down a little bit below the frost level, which is about 3 feet. So, hey, that's worth that. And the mechanical structure is just as important as the antenna itself. Because, hey, you're building something to hold something up in the air. Well, above the ground, lots of things change, including wind velocity.
KD0ZWU.
Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, in practical terms, I think you're looking at about a cubic yard of concrete for each of your three guy anchors and your base. To withstand the 100-mile-an-hour winds we can get here on the Front Range. So don't underestimate that. And that's not cheap, and it's not easy.
Else, want to comment?
KD0USB, check in and comment.
KD0USB, go ahead, Mike.
I just went through Larimer County Code, and they wanted $250 to look at the 36-inch by 3-foot by 3-foot wide hole. So if you code it, just be advised that you're going to pay a little money. But for ham radios, I don't think you have to code it, but if you're going to put a wind tower or something like that on it, you have to code it.
N0WIQ, go ahead, Kerry.
Hey, what about the concrete? Get industrial strength concrete. Don't use the quick-creek you can buy at the home improvement or anything like that. So that will be a little more expensive, but you want it to last. You don't want it to crack up.
Well, I disagree, KB0NE. I use a quickcrete, about a cubic yard of it, and it works fine.
Else have a comment? Anybody have any comments? What kind of brand? You want to tell them what kind of you used?
Okay. Well, I used 12 bags of quickcrete. Now, I've used this product before for different buildings around my property and for footers and other projects. And quickcrete seems to work okay. If you want to be super, super, super assured of quality concrete, yeah, maybe you need to get some really good stuff. But for a tower that's sitting on top of a hole, basically filled with concrete, I don't know that it's necessary to worry, but that's my opinion, and I'm sure there's others out there.
KD0ZWU.
EDU, a question? Mike, I think you got in a little bit late. Let's go with you first, and then Terry, I'll take you. Go ahead, Mike.
Thank you, Joe. KE0EZU. In your concrete, do you put rebar in there or that heavy wire to reinforce it?
Yes, absolutely.
Why don't we do this as has been suggested at the club meeting or something like that and discuss it and maybe give some illustrations or photographs or something like that. I'd like it.
Roger that. We'll do as much as possible. I didn't photograph the whole process of building my tower and putting in the base, but I will be willing to give lots of details of what I did.
Sounds great to me. KE0EZU on the side.
Carry comment. Go ahead. KD0ZWU. Sorry, Terry, go right ahead. I do apologize.
All of these anchors require a rebar cage and a minimum of 5,000 PSI concrete. And your average bag of quickcrete will do that.
Okay, KB0NE here. Yeah, that's based upon a 30-day curing average. To get the maximum PSI, you do have to let it cure for quite a while. But after, you know, a year, you got quite a solid piece of concrete over.
Absolutely, at least a week is necessary of curing.
Care to comment? Are there any other questions for the net?
Hey Joe, did you get a chance to look at this KD0YOR? Did you get a chance to look at the flyer that I kind of quacky stacked together yesterday to show you?
Yeah, I saw it, Matt. I also sent you back something. Did you get it?
Red face, I have not checked my email today. Shame on me. But I will do that ASAP.
Don't hurry. It's one that I made for NCART a long time ago, and we could steal whatever's on there. It's not a big deal. whatever you feel. But you've got the right information.
Roger that, Joe. I just didn't... I kind of figured, do some, like George Patton always says, even if you do something wrong, just doing something is better than nothing.
Tend to agree. And thank you for helping out. I do appreciate that. Anybody else have any questions for the net? Okay, to kind of preface this thing, I kind of want to tell you what I've had a lot of people call me and ask me questions about and this and that, and it's about radials on vertical or dipoles as far as that goes. And they read in the manual, do not need radials. Now, unfortunately, it has no counterpose or anything else to make this thing work. And they say, do not need radials. Well, I'm gonna start out with Mark, because Mark, the other day when we were talking on the radio, he came up with a very good analogy on why they say that. WGM, I see, would you care to comment on our discussion?
W2MIC. Well, there are three kinds of antennas that people call, quote, vertical, unquote, antennas. The first kind, and I believe the kind that Joe is talking about, are a quarter wave vertical, where your antenna is a quarter of the wavelength of the band that you're on. And those, without exception, do need radials. The second type is a turned over dipole. So we all think of a half wave dipole as being a horizontal wire and a horizontal wire fed in the middle. And if you take a half wave dipole and stand it up vertically, so you've got one end going up and one end going down and everything is above the ground, for that you do not need a radial. An example of that would be the Gap Titan DX Delta X-ray. A third type is a non-resonant antenna. Those are weird. DX Engineering sells them. And what they are is just a chunk of wire and a really dandy antenna tuner, transmitter match, at the base of the antenna. And you don't really need radials with those, although it's better if you have some. What Joe, I think, is referring to is a whole bunch of snake oil out there of, oh, we have an antenna that doesn't need a radial, and that's usually not the case.
KE0EZU, is it Mark's radio or is it the repeater that's causing this noise?
Repeater.
WPIQ.
I don't care who answers, but is it the repeater that's causing him this warbling noise, or is it actually his radio?
It happens on and off with the repeater, but it's not Mark's radio, K7ABV.
Good to know. Because, Mark, we got a lot of that conversation. You were clear. We could understand you, but I wasn't sure... anything else on that, Mark?
U2MIC, here's a different radio with lots more power. Is this any better?
Far much.
Okay, we'll stay here.
Any other comments?
Well, what you're really looking for from a manufacturer when you're looking at a vertical antenna is calculated and measured gain figures. And it is of interest to note that the ARRL, which publishes the QST magazine, insists on gain figures from manufacturers and has found that most manufacturers are not willing to supply gain figures. That is a sure sign of snake oil.
N0WIQ, Carrie, do you have any comments?
Well, first I'll comment that people that have a fair understanding, maybe even better than mine, find a certain amount of snake oil even in the ARRL information, although that is a good starting point for anybody that is just getting started. And that's, I like the idea of a non-tuned antenna, or non-resonant antenna, with a variable coupler at its base, myself, or I should say at its feed point. And that's my preference because it gives me greater versatility.
KE0CW, Terry, I know you've got a comment on this. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. When you're dealing with vertical antennas and vertical radiation, ground radials, whether you do it with elevated radials that are tuned, which W7RF likes, and I've not confirmed that, but I will presume that he's correct on that, or the traditional method of a large number of radials in the ground, what that really does is it provides a good impedance match to the vertical radiator. So it gives you a balanced radiator. But that does not mean that you're actually going to radiate energy in the direction that you want. The radiation of energy at low angles from a vertical antenna
entirely depends on the conductivity of the soil within a kilometer or so of the antenna that you're working with. So most of us can't control that. So when you're dealing with a vertical radiation pattern, even if you can perfectly match it and get a good impedance match with your local ground, does not mean you're going to get a very good lowing of radiation pattern. KD0ZWU.
Okay, I've got a question for you guys out there on low takeoff angle or high takeoff angle. Is there any way that the radials would influence the difference between a low or a high takeoff angle?
KB0N here. Yeah, it sure does. I've got a 6BVT Hustler antenna, and I'll tell you what, that thing performs great, but I've also got like 56 radials beneath it, and I'm thinking that the takeoff angle is probably about 45 degrees. So, you know, the fewer radials you have, the higher the takeoff angle tends to be.
Now, I'm going to define that for the folks who don't know what we're talking about. What we're talking about, the difference between a high takeoff angle and a low takeoff angle. If I want to hit Japan, I want a low takeoff angle because I want to start out as low as I possibly can, and I'm going to hit off of the ionosphere, and I'm going to bounce back down. If I'm going to hit Greeley, I want a high takeoff angle because I want to be able to shoot straight up and bounce off the ionosphere and come back down on the other side. So I just want to make that the what I was talking about that. So I guess, John, what you're saying is that the more radios you got, the lower the takeoff angle is going to be.
Okay, that as also in a combination of the height of the antenna. So a quarter wave antenna, no matter what frequency, will have a takeoff angle of about 45 degrees, and the shorter the antenna, as per meters per band, will have a higher takeoff angle. So the 6BVT has approximately, I'm guessing about a 45 to 60 degree takeoff angle on 40 meters, but on 10 meters and you know, the lower higher frequency bands there, it's much lower. So it depends on the length of the antenna also, as far as the radials are concerned.
This is KD0TYU Net Control for this evening's TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club Net. Okay, any other comments?
KD0ZWU, I'm not sure, are we talking about horizontally polarized antennas or vertically polarized antennas?
Okay, a vertical antenna is vertically polarized. Using NVIS, it's kind of omnidirectional. But yeah, the closer to a quarter wave you can come, the closer to 45 degrees you become. In the case of 2 meter antennas, antennas that are collinear and about 20 feet long, they tend to be quite horizontal.
That is the confusion. I was thinking about vertically polarized antennas transmitting with regard to a counterpoise that is the ground plane.
Okay, so the idea of near vertical interception antennas, NVIS, you're talking about going up and hitting the ionosphere, and the polarization becomes sort of a non-subject.
I still think we are talking across terms or thinking along different lines. Yeah, vertical propagation, horizontal polarization, the polarization of the radio wave due to the ionosphere is a significant factor. If we're talking about vertical antennas and long-range propagation, then the polarization of the radio wave to the ionosphere is not an issue, and low elevation radiation pattern is the issue.
Yeah, roger that, and that's quite correct. So for my example of using the 6BVT vertical Hussar antenna, I have contacted New Zealand and a lot of places really far away, and it's pretty amazing because by the time the polarization of the antenna and the RF that's going out of it bounces around a number of times, it's kind of hard to say where it ends up.
Thus, it is a rich topic for discussion. KD0ZWU.
That's primarily what we're getting at. We've got people that are out there that's kind of reading the snake oil ads about vertical antennas primarily. And I've had a lot of people say, oh, set that thing up and it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Well, because you read the stuff that says that you don't need radials. And I suppose the antenna's fine. But I've never really went over and put a meter on any of this stuff. But the bottom line is they're reading the material. And I guess theoretically they're right. You don't need them. But then again, how well do you want it to work?
That's a good question, Joe. This is KD0YOR. If I wanted to put up a vertical antenna and build it from scratch, let's say, how many radials would or should I have, you know, depending upon the band and all that stuff? Anybody have an idea?
QMIC, would you care to answer that?
The ARRL, both in the ARRL antenna book and in the ARRL book on vertical antennas, says about 16.
16 radials? What size of radials do you need?
Lots of formulas. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. And the other comment is that's 16 per band.
Ooh, gotcha. So you have to have 16 radios for every band. Let's say you have a multi-band antenna of like 80 through 10. That's a lot of radios.
Lots of good pictures on the web and lots of good YouTube videos and lots of pictures in the ARRL books, and it is very common to have more than 100 radials total on a multi-band vertical.
Wow, that looks like, it'll look like a cactus before you're all done with it.
There's one thing about, you reach a point where there's a minimum return on the amount of radials you have. A lot of the AM broadcast stations will have a screen that's actually underneath the antenna, covering quite a few acres, and that's their radial system.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine I grew up with back in Nebraska. He's an engineer for radio stations down in Texas now, but he was one up in Nebraska for many years, and him and I were out there at his one place that he serviced and everything, and you're right, it's kind of mind-blowing when you see how big those radio fields are.
Yep, roger that.
WIQ again?
0KLJ. I've read comments about just instead of having direct radials, to put down a screen of chicken wire. And I've read that it does very well. Any comments on that?
WIQ.
Thanks, Phil, for that. Go ahead, Kerry, and 0WIQ.
Well, first of all, chicken wire has all the wires twisted together, not welded or anything, so it can be a source of noise after some installation time. And otherwise, you could set up a set of an image plane of radials. Just make it circular. Heat the antenna with a variable coupler and cover lots of different bands. It's just, hey, you make the radios long enough to work at the lowest frequency that way.
What else could it come in?
W2MIC.
In wire. I'm kind of interested in that because I've been toying with the idea of maybe putting up a vertical here at my house. Anything about the dimensions or do you have an idea or can anybody help me out on that?
W2MIC, go ahead.
We may be at cross purposes with the phrase chicken wire. I'm going to say wire mesh, wherein all of the pieces are solidly attached to one another. More is better. We do have a ham in the club who has built an extensive ground system using wire mesh. That's Andy Anderson, AYJ. I don't know if he's, don't think he's on this evening. More is better, and longer is better. So if at all possible, and this is quite literal, what the vertical antenna companies tell you is they wish that you could lay down a copper sheet as large as your property. The mesh is obviously much less expensive, a little bit less effective, but in general what you would like to be doing is laying out long sheets of mesh, acting, in other words, radially from the vertical antenna, rather than making a compact circle around the base of the antenna. You want lots of length and lots of mesh and lots of area, if at all possible. By the way, putting up your vertical on top of a steel flat-roofed building is just about as good as things get.
Okay, well, that's food for thought right there. I have one of the a galvanized steel post, 10-foot post that I put out on the in between my property and my neighbor's property on my side, of course, that I was going to hook the vertical on it, and I was either thinking about putting a capacitance hat on it or run a few radials, and I just didn't know. I'm going to read the antenna book because my lovely wife got that for me for Christmas a couple of years ago, and see what it says, but I just like to glean off the experience you OTs have.
Yep, radials are where you start.
KZ0KLJ again, this is Phil. Mike, you had made mention when we were talking about my vertical on top of the ambulance, which is about 7 feet wide by another maybe 11 or 12 feet in length, and you said that using radials along with that is probably good practice. Can you explain more?
Sure. You're using a screwdriver on top of a large vehicle with a contiguous roof, and that's what that really means is that the antenna itself is acting as a tuning stub and the body of the vehicle is doing the radiating. And that in turn means that most of your takeoff angle is almost straight up. What you would really like to do is convert your takeoff angle to lower angles, and to do that you would need to deploy some radials. What radials do is, number one, they provide the other half of the antenna. If you think of a vertical antenna being half of a dipole, and the second thing that they do is they shield the ground, because otherwise what you're doing is pumping your energy out of your antenna, and the return circuit is through the soil, which in our area here is very, very poor. What a radial does, what radials do, is they give a high conductance path for that half of the circuit, and that means that your radiation efficiency is higher. If you're putting 100 watts into the effort, how many are you actually radiating as radio waves? And they lower your takeoff angle.
Okay, yep, I get that, and that's what I've read. But it would be interesting to be able to see this radiated pattern and try it both ways, you know, with and without the radials on top of this metal plane, by that 7 foot by 12 foot. Because it seems that when I'm transmitting, everybody tells me I'm coming in really clear through California, Texas, and whatnot. So I'm just curious of the difference it'll make.
Well, what you're describing is a fairly high takeoff angle, and that is by no means bad for talking to the Continental U.S. You're up once and down once. And the general rule of thumb is every time you bounce off the ionosphere or the Earth or the ocean, you're losing about 10 dB. That's a round number. So if you were trying to go to Japan or Taiwan or New Zealand, you would like to get your takeoff angle lower. At this point, I believe what you're doing is you're going up once and down once to get to your choice of New York, New Jersey, et cetera, California, et cetera. Maybe two bounces to get to New York.
Okay, now I get to play some more.
Hey, Mark, I have a question about that also. If you're trying to go overseas and you're figuring on maybe three or four bounces, does salt water actually delete some of that 10% loss?
Yes, you're vastly better to be bouncing off of the saltwater ocean than off of the dirt in the continental U.S.
I guess I'd heard that, but I wasn't real sure. One of the people that we looked at, Verticals, actually did all his testing on his antenna over saltwater, and I was questioning the basic of the numbers he was coming up with because it didn't. I mean, you know, you could throw anything over salt water and it should perform very well.
Yeah, salt water is about four orders of magnitude more conductive than fresh water, which in turn is one or two orders of magnitude more conductive than dirt.
That's exactly what I was going for there. I have lost all track. N0WIQ, do you have any more comments, Gary, about this?
The radial system is far superior than the ground around here, and the people, we're talking about people basically around the world talking about various antennas that work for the individuals. So physical location is a consideration. Radials and a vertical, we're talking about probably a quarter wavelength sphere going up in the air for vertical. This is also an omnidirectional antenna. And then the radials, well, they affect takeoff angle. They affect pattern because the omnidirectional becomes less omnidirectional if you have a non-symmetrical image plane, things like that. So, hey. That's my comment. I'll just leave it at that. Back to net.
Oh, thank you very much for those comments. I do appreciate that, Kerry. Let's see. Are there any other comments about this? My biggest issue is that a lot of people don't have the room to put in a bunch of radials. I know we talked about chicken wire was one of the things. One guy actually used a metal fence, I know, to do that, and that seemed to work okay. Anything really works okay. A shopping cart out there, what Will used to say, would work, and I totally agree, it probably will work. But most people don't have the room to put out a bunch of radios. J James Sizek, KN0KN, has probably got the best system I've seen because he's got all this room out there to be able to do this, and he found a little way to put a digger to actually make him pull it in a lot easier. So if you cannot find a counterpose for a particular antenna, what do you do?
KD0ZWU.
Oh, go ahead, Terry. I thought I was going to be left all alone on that one.
If you're driving a monopole without a counterpoise, you have a very bad antenna feed condition, and your only solution is to use some kind of an antenna tuner to appease the radio. And all that's going to do is let the radio put as much energy as it can into the antenna, and the antenna may or may not radiate your energy in a direction you wish.
This is KD0TYU, net control for this evening's TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. So what you're saying is you're just out of luck.
Going to be dealing with a less than optimal situation. W2MIC.
W2MIC, go ahead.
Well, if you do not have room to put up a radial system, you do not want to go with a quarter wave vertical. You want to go with what is called a vertical dipole. And that is an antenna that is actually a vertical chunk, and it is two different antennas, one on top and one on the bottom, and they are insulated in the middle and fed from the middle of the antenna. A very good example that works very well is the Gap Titan DX, and if KF0CB is still on here, he can tell us about that because he has one and has used it for years.
Mr. Martinez, are you still in there? Guess Mike's gone.
I will say this, KB0RNE, for a gap vertical for 40 meters, you're talking about 60 feet elevation. And that's a lot of height for a basic antenna.
Yes, if you don't have the horizontal space, you need the vertical space. KD0ZWU.
Well, I was originally going to buy a Gap Titan, but ended up with this iGain out there, and it has counterposes, which is, I'm in the same boat that these other people are. I couldn't put anything on air, but it does have counterposes, and it seems to work okay. I don't do much overseas work with it. For some reason, I just don't have very much luck, so I have I shouldn't have a high takeoff angle, but I kind of do. I mean, I can get all over the United States and Canada and even Mexico, but I can't get anywhere out of the States unless I, you know, go to the hex beam, which is okay. But waiting for winter when the snow's down might help me a little bit. But I've often wondered about how a person can actually make that antenna talk better.
KD0ZW with a comment.
Certainly, Terry, go right ahead.
I don't know if this was realized, but I will repeat it again. There are two, when it comes to vertical antennas, there are two issues. One is antenna impedance and providing a good ground image so that the vertical antenna, provides a good match to the radio. And for that, ground wires of about a quarter wave or so are adequate. However, to achieve low angle radiation patterns requires good conductivity for miles, kilometers, in the direction that you want to radiate. And if you want to get into the 5-degree takeoff angles, that requires good conductivity for a very, very long distance from your antenna. And that's only reasonably achieved near the ocean, where the salt water is a good conductor and will give you a good ground plane for the radiation of the energy at low takeoff angles. You can pump all the energy you want into the antenna, but if you don't have a good ground plane for miles from your antenna, it's just not going to radiate anywhere near low takeoff angles. KD0ZWU.
KD0TYU here, net control. Would you care to define why we have to have radials? Everybody's kind of talked around it, but they really haven't defined why that's important.
Well, the first issue is to make a good impedance mesh to your vertical antenna. If you have quarter wave radials or longer, and a number of them, you will make a good match to your antenna, and you can radiate energy.
WIQ.
NZO WIQ, go ahead, Carrie.
For the RF signal, the antenna is a complete circuit. In other words, we're talking about current out and current back to a feed point. And so the antenna does this, and if the antenna resonates, it becomes a resistive current loop. And therefore, everything is, what shall I say, at maximum radiation. Now, there are articles on how an antenna actually works, but it basically breaks down to, you feed the antenna with a signal, this causes the electrons to vibrate at the first signal rate, and that vibration makes the electromagnetic wave that escapes the antenna. And, hey, this idea of radios on a quarter wave in the vertical sphere, yes, they should be matched relative to the wavelength we're talking about, the quarter wave radio and a quarter wave sphere. Now, avoiding the radios, you should think about a different antenna, period. But you can mount a dipole, for instance, physically. But there are certain, what should I say, rules for getting the feed line to it and all this kind of stuff. But, hey, it's all buried in the snake oil.
Okay, Carrie, you bring up a good point, dipoles. I've never had much luck with them. But that's just me. I can't get them up high enough, and I can't get the angle right because of the way my house is laid out. Do radials actually help dipoles? Go ahead, NZOWIQ.
Well, the thing is, the dipole has both halves radiating, but they make the complete circuit because they have... The one element of the dipole is driven and the other element is inductively coupled. So, hey, as far as radials are concerned, no, they don't need it. But, hey, that's the crux of it.
KB's Johnny.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, it depends. If you're doing near vertical in VIS, you need to have a reflector, and that's a radio in a weird sort of way. But I went to the, symposium at the, I can't remember. Anyway, NVIS requires vertical signal up into the atmosphere and a 60-foot radial underneath the NVIS antenna that's transmitting will put the signal up there.
WIQ.
Bayou Net Control. Go ahead, N0WIQ.
Well, the near vertical incident wave is basically putting a two-element beam on the ground. So it's a two-element beam. You have a driven element and a reflector. And if you make them both the same length, it's pretty much like a Yankee pointed upwards. But anyway, only two elements instead of n number of elements. And so that's the only comment I'll make about it. And of course, if you make the angle variable between the radiator and the driven element, you can change the amount of vertical you make. So you can make a skip further or closer in because you're less vertical or perfectly vertical.
Agreed.
And that does make a lot of sense. KD0ZW, Terry, would you care to comment?
I think the most significant comment I can have is that there's a difference between matching the impedance of the antenna and the radiation pattern of the antenna. Now, with a horizontal dipole, you are normally in a matched situation, and so you can always feed the antenna with lots of power. Now, where you radiate that power is determined by the height of the antenna above ground. With a vertical antenna, you need a radial counterpoise, and also where you radiate that energy depends on both the counterpoise and the ground conductivity.
WIQ.
Go ahead, N0WQ.
Well, a dipole, well, a lot of people just connect the coax to it, really should have a balun in the center for the feed point, and this balun can actually do an impedance matching along the way, but hey, that's getting down to some nitpicking, because a dipole is a balanced antenna, and your 50-ohm feed line is unbalanced, so you should have a balun in there. And that's the basis of it.
Yeah, the other comments?
W2MIC.
2MIC, go ahead, Mark.
Well, you asked a fairly specific question, and I want to both answer the question and answer the converse. Does a half-wave dipole, horizontally oriented, benefit from ground radials? No. How do you get the takeoff angle of a half-wave dipole, horizontally oriented, to be lower? Answer, raise the half-wave dipole. The further you are above ground, the lower the takeoff angle for a half-wave dipole.
That would make sense, because that was my problem. I couldn't get it up high enough to do anything. I was pretty much talking to Bertha, and I couldn't get out of Colorado.
I have a fan dipole at about 35 feet, and I talk all over the world without any trouble at all.
NVIS, about 12 feet.
You're on a mountain that's a million miles up in the air.
Only 500 feet.
Of what?
Average terrain.
Okay, copy that. Yeah, you're quite a ways up there.
I can't remember what it was, but they're talking about 12 feet above a reflector that gives you NVIS between 50 and 300 miles radiation. So, yeah, if you want. want to get out to 80 meters, you need to be a little while higher.
KLJ.
Just keep the mic. Who was calling there? Go ahead.
KLJ, this is Phil. Getting back onto the radials, I've read that the radials do not necessarily have to go straight out. They can be squiggly. They can don't recommend that they go in a spiral, but they said it's not a bad thing either. Any comments on that one?
Guys, I got to take a couple minutes off here, so I'll be back in about 3 minutes, but go ahead and answer his question if you can.
W2MIC, yeah, the rule of thumb is that you can definitely bend those radials. It's not the best answer, but sometimes it's the only answer. And the rule of thumb is to not make an angle any sharper than 90 degrees.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I was thinking, you know, just like if they were laid out, some people will say that they've just thrown them out randomly, and that seems to do a great job. Others say straight out. Others say you can snake them outward. So in other words, you're kind of pulling them in to cover less ground or a smaller radius by snaking them outward instead, so you're bringing everything in. Any thoughts on that?
Yep. What we're dealing with here is some exponentials, and so if you have no radials, and then you get up to one or two or three or four radials, a few radials is dramatically better than no radials. And then as you add more radials, up to about 16 or so, you continue to gain greatly. If you have 16 serpentine radials, they're not as good as 16 straight radials, but they're going to be way better than 4 straight radials. Did that help?
Roger that.
Yes, that did help. It makes plenty of sense. Thank you.
WIQ.
Go ahead, Gary.
My favorite phrase about antennas is no man-made antenna is a perfect antenna. Therefore, you make the man-made antenna has to be made as well as it can be made. And it's always a compromise. So you pick the compromise that works in your situation. Now, we're talking about vertical antennas because they take up less real estate. Well, pseudo less real estate. A vertical dipole will take up less real estate than a quarter wave vertical because the quarter wave vertical needs the radio field. So, these are some of the thought patterns that go into all of this. And then after that, you come up with a support skirt at the boot.
You know, I've heard you say that before, Kerry, as KD0TYU. I just have to ask you this, and I probably know the answer already, but you say any man-made antenna has got efficiencies of XYZ. Are there any natural-type antennas that a person could use?
Mathematical antenna, which is basically a sphere with unity gain. They call that near perfect antenna. But when you start messing around with mechanically built antennas, you no longer have that perfection. So now every man-made antenna becomes a compromise. But will the compromise work for you or do what you want it to do? Well, you can take the compromise to its best performance you can tweak your radio to accept the compromise. But hey, it's still a compromise. And you want the best compromise you can get for your situation. If real estate is a problem, you probably want to go with a vertical dipole. And again, raising it up in the air would be better, but then that's a support structure thing. After you decide on what kind of antenna.
W2MIC.
WMSA, go ahead, Mark.
The genesis of the comment that all man-made antennas are less than perfect comes from the issue that any conductor we have, for example, copper, aluminum, steel, etc., has resistance. And so whenever you're driving energy into an antenna made with real-world materials, you are, to some extent, heating up the antenna and losing efficiency. The solution to that problem is to build your antenna out of superconductors. A little hard to do today, but maybe someday.
That makes a lot of sense, you know, maybe someday, like you say. Any other comments? KG0ZWU. Certainly, Terry, go ahead.
Also, any man-made antenna operates in an imperfect radiation environment. You have an Earth that does not have good connectivity, and you may have mountains and other kinds of things and buildings in your way. So these play into the radiation pattern of any antenna.
Thanks, Terry, for that, but I think somebody doubled with you when you first came in. Whoever's trying to get in, please come.
KE0KBF.
KBF, go.
Okay, well, I'm sorry if this got covered already. I had to step away and grade a little homework. When we were talking about the radials, now, you know, when I installed my antenna, it told me to do two radials for each band and gave me the links for that. Now, I've also seen or read that, you know, you're supposed to have, you know, a dozen or 20, 40, 60, whatever, but the radials should all be the same length. Is there really any difference whether you cut them to the each band or just make them all the same length?
KG0ZWU. Go right ahead, Terry. If the radials are tuned to a specific length and they are not connected to the ground, then they will provide an adequate resonant to the antenna. But these radials need to be not connected to the ground.
Okay, well, I said I cut two radials for each band. Now, my antenna is 32 inches off the ground, but my radials are actually on the ground.
I think the radials do not matter.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
W2MIC.
W2MAC, go ahead, Mark.
There have been a bunch of empirical experiments done covering this particular issue, and the general answer is that a whole bunch of short radials work as well as a few long radials.
I'd have to go along with that. KB0RD. Four radials is pretty good. Eight radials, okay, better.
KE0KBF. Okay, yeah, see, I cut two radials for each band, so I have a five band, so I have 10 radials on the ground, but only two for each band, and, you know, they're cut for the length for each band.
Need to go for four.
Okay, now is there any particular spacing I gotta keep away? I'm kind of limited already to the area I have to put the radio. If I ran them, 6 inches apart and kind of parallel to each other, would that work, or do I need to have 2 or 3 feet in between them?
Okay, we're talking about 90 degrees.
Okay, so if I have two of them already going east-west, make the next two go north-south.
Roger that.
I'll see what I can do there. The longer ones, I just don't have the room to be able to do that.
Okay, that's when you're getting into the squeezing the radials down to a compact size, but it's worth for doing.
Okay, looks like it's time to get the CAD program out and do a little plan.
N0WIQ, go ahead, Kerry.
Well, the ideal for radios would be to have them going around the vertical antenna to make a complete circle, which is a radio spaced out according to how many degrees by the number of radials to go around in a complete circle. Now, most of us don't have the real estate to make a complete circle of radials, so we're gonna cut that ideal down by changing the radial pattern. But if it's a circular pattern, you get more omnidirectionality. If it's not circular, the omnidirectional idea gets shifted a little bit, so it is somewhat directional. Hey, depends on what you want to accomplish and what you can accomplish.
Any other comments or questions on this subject?
KLJ.
KLJ, go.
W2MIC, Mark, you had mentioned a while back when we were talking about my ambulance with the screwdriver and grounding the chassis. Now, if I were to attach radials, considering I have an NMO mount, which, and whatnot, then everything's tied to that chassis. If I were to ground that to earth ground, the radials really wouldn't do any good, would they?
I'm not envisioning the picture. You're talking about running a wire from the chassis of the truck down to a ground rod?
Yes, that is correct.
No, you don't want to do that because it is the tires that provide the insulation. And the body of the vehicle is capacitively coupled to ground. You do not want to short the body of the vehicle to ground. You want to keep those tires in there.
Okay, then I totally misunderstood what we were talking about before. Good, I like that.
N0WIQ, go ahead, Gary.
Well, the real confusion is the term ground is typically meant to be earth ground. The idea of an image plane and a vertical element, we're talking about a transmitting element and an image plane making a complete circuit. Ground comes in where they want to make things safe. There's non-com people that want to play with 110 volts or something, and those circuits have to have enough ground on their common line. And that's just kind of so you're a little safer than you would be if there wasn't enough ground. But hey, let's keep,
in terms of a radiator and a return element rather than a radiator and ground. And, hey, keeping those two separate in your mind helps you keep things a little bit straight when you think about different things.
W2MIC.
Comments.
W2MIC.
Go right ahead, Mark.
I think there's a related discussion here about end-driven or random length wire antennas, where you attach a piece of wire to your radio and stick it out as far as you can, up a tree, over trees, over fences, whatever. And these are sometimes called end-fed antennas, sometimes called random length antennas. And one of the key parts of the discussion here is that you do need to provide the other half of the circuit, either by laying out a counterpoise of the same length driven off of the other part. So you've got the driven part driven from the center of your coax, and then you need to have a counterpoise run from the ground side. Or you need to literally pound a ground rod into the ground, dump a few buckets of water over to get the conductivity up, and attach the ground side of your radio to the ground rod. Then you're using the earth return path. And these are kind of all the same discussions about, is your antenna vertically oriented? Where is it fed from the end or from the middle? So if you're doing a random wire or an end-fed wire, you do need to provide the other half of that circuit. I'm kind of mirroring what Kerry has been saying.
KLJ.
KLJ, go.
So, Mark, I mean, just with the measurements that I've made, the coax, okay, is two conductors. You have the shield, and you have the center conductor. Now, in the measurements I take, the shield is connected to chassis ground of the rig. So if you're connecting that chassis ground eventually through to earth ground, isn't that attaching the second half of a dipole or radials, etc., to earth ground?
Excellent question. No. So the purpose of a radial is to prevent the electrons from getting into the dirt and giving the electrons a high conductivity path, like copper wire, back to the radio. With an end-fed, what you are doing is you don't have that second half of the circuit being wire. The second half of the circuit is the dirt. And I need to be careful between the terms dirt and ground. So I'm going to say electrical ground and dirt. By pounding a metal ground rod into the soil and dumping some water on it, and Terry even suggests mixing some salt into that water, which if you're in a place you can do that, I highly recommend. What you are doing is you are using the dirt as the other half of the antenna, and you are making a good connection between the radio and the dirt, but you are giving up the losses that you have running the electrons back through the dirt because the dirt is not terribly conductive. If you don't have that ground rod into the soil, then you don't have the return half of the circuit at all.
Okay, I'll be doing some pondering on that one.
Okay, we need to find what frequency. For frequency, are we talking about 2 meters, 450, or HF?
Good point.
That's for sure. That is a good point. What would you see we talking about, Phil?
Let's say all HF frequencies.
We'll count it down.
Go again. I missed that one.
So let me ask this, 20, 40, 80, or 10, 17, 15, where are you at on the spectrum here?
through 80.
Okay, guys.
Generally speaking, the lower you go in frequency, the worse this soil return path gets. Obviously, it has a longer path to go through, and that means it's traversing more soil, which in turn means you're losing more energy in the resistance. If you get 10% efficiency out of an end-fed on 160, you're doing really well.
Really, I thought that'd be better than that. So what would you get, like, on 40?
I was testing my end-fed dipole today, and I noticed that it gets real iffy when you get around 80.
I'm sorry, Phil, I stepped on you. You want to go ahead and ask your question again?
Oh, sorry about that. I couldn't tell. But nonetheless, but I had noticed that 80 seems to be rather tricky as opposed to when you getting into the higher frequencies.
The conductivity of the return path when you're using Earth ground goes up with the lower frequencies because of the longer wavelength. And N0WIQ kind of said that, so to kind of straighten that out, you need to put a conductive counterpoise on your infed antenna.
W2MIC, this is KLG.
Yep, go ahead.
I'm sure you remember the discussion we had recently about my end-fed dipole, which is what I tested today, by the way. In going through, that's an 80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, 10 meter end-fed, and it was notched down to low SWR in those various bands. I did some testing on that today, and it is correct. It works really well. Now, in this sense, being an end-fed dipole with a balun and whatnot, and that it's tuned to those frequencies, there's no need for any type of radio, correct?
Well, sort of. To very specifically answer your question about a radial, no, because you're not trying to shield the soil from the signal, or rather, you're not trying to isolate the antenna from the soil. If we're talking about, and I'm going to use 160 as an example, I realize your antenna does 80. If we're transmitting on 160, then the wire is half wave, so 80 meters, and we have 80 meters of earth to traverse on the way back. If we're transmitting on 10 meters, then the antenna is half of that, or half 5 meters. 5 meters versus 80 meters is a huge difference in how much soil we are traversing, like, because I'm an engineer, an order of magnitude or more, which in turn means that your losses on 10 meters will be an order of magnitude less than your losses on 160. Yeah, you really do want to put a counterpoise out there, and you can kind of think of a counterpoise as one radial. But that's really not accurate. What you're really doing is providing the other half of the half-wave dipole.
Okay, I'm starting to see that. What I'm trying to get, though, is, again, advertisement, right? They advertise that a tuner is not needed with this end-fed, and radials are not required. So, And I remember you mentioning, or somebody mentioned earlier, that don't go by what's advertised, you know, figure it out for yourself, or, experiment, do whatever. So that's why I'm asking this question.
Well, it's technically true that you don't need a radial, because in the case of this random length wire, the radial would be placed underneath the wire between the antenna and the ground and the soil. What you really want is a counterpoise 180 degrees opposite of the random length wire sticking out there to give you a on the ground or nearly on the ground half wave dipole And the counterpoise will serve as a return circuit, a high conductivity path, and will greatly lower your losses into the dirt.
Here's another thing. To think of a 50 ohm load inside a cantina, if you would, requires no return, but it radiates nothing. So, yeah, and antenna is quite a different experience.
Well, that doesn't seem like that makes sense, because I agree with you, John. It doesn't, it radiates nothing. That's not good.
Yeah, so the whole thing is you want to get your antenna power up to the antenna, not to the, some artificial resistance.
The thing I remember, Dan, and I think even Carrie has mentioned this before, it's any antenna will work okay. Put a shopping cart out there, because that's what Will used to say. I put two shopping carts together, and I could reach down the street. Yeah, but how well do you want it to work? And I guess that's your opinion. Do you want to talk to China, or do you want to talk to Greeley? I think that's the key of the thing. How well do you want it to work?
Roger that.
Set up now, Mark. You go ahead and take it.
Oh, yeah. There are two huge issues. Terry and Kerry have both mentioned the first one, which is impedance match. What in ohms is the impedance of your antenna? And the second issue is, what is your radiation efficiency? If you're pumping 100 watts into this system, how many watts of power are you actually radiating versus heating up the earthworms by running your return circuit through the dirt? An end-fed antenna has a wonderful advantage of you don't need a tower, you don't need much. If you can throw it up in a tree, off you go. The bad news, according to the numbers I've been seeing in my research, is that antenna is somewhere between 1 and 5% efficient, if that. The addition of a toroid, or a balun, or a choke, or whatever that's called, in a box on the end, helps with the matching, in other words, the perceived impedance as seen by the radio, but it does not help with the return current flowing back through the dirt. Putting a counterpoise out there gives you a dramatically better return, far better than a ground rod. Putting out several counterpoises, one cut per band, ooh, this starts to sound like a radial, doesn't it? Gives you optimized return paths, not very good ones, but optimized relative to the system, for each band, and in turn lowers your resistance from using the soil as your return path. Generally put, no matter what you do, an end-fed antenna is a really crappy antenna in terms of radiation efficiency. If you can get a half-wave dipole up on a 25-foot painter's pole and two more painter's poles out on the ends to hold the ends up, even though it sags in the middle, you will do dramatically better with a low 25-foot half-wave dipole or fan dipole than you will with an end-fed.
Any other comments? Okay, are there any other questions for the net?
KLJ, no questions for me. My brain is already burning. I smell smoke.
No problem, appreciate that. Are there any other questions for the net? I've got next week's topic here, and I'd like to thank everybody for enjoying the net tonight. The net lasted 2 hours and 8 minutes. We had 17, probably 18 check-ins, and I'd like to thank everybody for doing this. Next week, we're going to talk about radio waves. I'm going to ask both Carrie and Mark if they know what a shine wave generator is.
No clue. Yeah.
Me too.
So, John, you heard of it?
Come on, now you're just shining us on.
We've been
Years and years.
It's old. Oh, Terry, have you heard of it?
Negative.
Guys, you haven't heard of it. I really am. This gentleman worked for AT&T, and he created back before computers were even around. There's actually a video out there. In fact, I might play it for the club. I don't know which club, but from one of the clubs. And he talks about how this thing actually works, and it's quite interesting. I had a little time before I actually did a class this morning and went through this thing. And it's a mechanical type thing, and he actually shows how wavelengths work and various things like that, and how you can actually go from a positive type wave to a negative wave just by moving various types of things. So you might want to check it out on the web. It's actually a Shine, that's S-H-I-N-E, wave generator, and there's a really good AT&T video on the thing that I actually just downloaded tonight. So any other questions for the net?
I missed the H, so anyway, yep, I've seen the movie. How about that?
What do you think of that? That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Ah, away, laddie. Yep, probably on YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I get all my stuff. Talk about radio waves and what they are and how they work and various other things, and I hope everybody does a little bit of research on it. If not, we'll just play the video. Anyway, I hope everybody has a good evening. And so the repeater is open for general use. This kid is your TYU saying good night to everyone, and you have a pleasant evening.
73 is KB0NE.
Hey, Joe, I've got a video from 1950 about radio wave propagation in the ionosphere that was done by the Navy, and the Army, and I'd be willing to provide that at some club meeting sometime.
That would be great. Would you be interested in doing a presentation for WARS?
I suppose you could get me out to Greeley.
Buy you breakfast.
Yeah, so long as I'm in town.